Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go, a brand new broadcast week on the horn. A minute past the hour on this, the 8th day of August 2016. Head on RadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go to jump into the madcap multimedia real-time zany extravaganza that is, in fact, the horn chat room. Yes, there you will be greeted by, among others, Anatole Hoghead, Jeremy in Vermont, Laborman, Steve from Georgistan, longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, still is refraining from folding space, being as it is downright arachesque in Northern California, I presume. And also by veterate, somewhat fatigable, occasional chat room moderator Texas Betsy. Greetings. You can be there, too. All you got to do is go to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be right there, and people will be thrilled to see you. Yes, thrilled, I tell you. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy in Vermont, letting me know loud and clear on TuneIn. Brother Deacon Asa letting me know, coming through loud and clear on my Motorola Moran phone. Can't afford a smartphone in this economy. Ah, Moran phone, got it. Yeah, Moran Monday. Because it is in fact Moran Monday on the horn, and a couple of reminders. We closed the week down, but Brother Deacon Asa, and among others, Margaret, thank you very kindly, Margaret in Oregon, helped close that gap. So we only have to raise our usual evening's $200 this evening: 10 at 20, 20 at 10. 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 1250, 32 at 6 and a quarter, and 64 at $3.13, because we're just going to round up that extra fraction of a penny, if that's okay. But thank you very kindly, Margaret, and thank you very kindly to Asa as well. It is much appreciated not having to start the week, you know, in the hole. Right. Thank you to Sylvia and to Dwayne, as well as to Nancy. Nancy in Virginia. Thank you very kindly for your subscription. We need subscribers. We've got them. They only last for a year, and people can see them, and they go away, and they forget about them, whatever. And so, consequently, well, we need subscribers. When you go to headonradionetwork.com and you click the little box called Contribute, there's a box there that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation. If you click that, you're a subscriber. And, I wish we had something beyond our deep and abiding thanks, and maybe we will sometime in the future, but at any rate, that will, that way it's set it and forget it and you're done. And one of these days, as our dear friend Joan in Tallahassee has opined in the past, it would be nice to get to 400 $10 a month subscribers or some combination thereof, because then I'd never have to do this again. And wouldn't that be awesome? Yes. Yes. Ah, Carol Baker has just wandered in the door from a blazing day on the mean streets of Kansas City. Welcome to More In Monday. Carol, it's good to have you on board, as ever. It is, in fact, More In Monday on the horn. And God knows we've got material with which to work across a broad range. A broad range, indeed, of potential subject matter. Huh? No? Okay. Brother Deacon Gerald was just asking, technical troubles? No. We seem to be all good here. I'm not getting any, you're not on, hit the throw the third switch bobs in the chat room or anything, so I assume we're broadcasting nicely. I mean, I've already heard from Jeremy in Vermont and Brother Deacon Asa, so there you go. No, it's More In Monday, and we've got, a ton to work with, in multiple nominee fields. No buffering going on my end. Not seeing any buffering, not seeing any dropout. Excellent. Thank you, Sparky. Sparky says all good on my internet radio, Bob Kincaid. Good. I worry. Ah, yes, and Carol confirming you're on. Okay. Sorry, Gerald. But, let's do this right. We haven't done it right in it's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it? Yeah, by God, it has. So, consequently.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. Just a few paces off the main carnival midway, here we are, the More In Monday tent at the Horn. Yes, indeed. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will find all manner of More Ins, right-wing More Ins, birthers, deathers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarian More Ins, listeners to Alex Jones, Republicans, all sorts of morons here for your amazement and disturbance. Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, kiddies and cousins, friends and neighbors, for less than 17 cents per hour of programming for $10 a month subscribers, you get it all right here. You know, you can't tell the morons without a program, and this is the program that tells the morons. You just can't tell them much. Oh, indeed, we do advise you as you go through the More In Monday tent, friends and neighbors, keep a close eye on and a hand on children, small animals, European-style messenger bags, purses, wallets, and even that iguana that you won out on the midway throwing ping-pong balls at fishbowls. Yes, there are the occasional winners there, because after all, the More Ins can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. And I'm not kidding. No. Lots of morons. Definitely lots of morons. Lots and lots of morons. What do I mean? Well, let's just try a couple. Okay, here's one. This would be your pint-sized More In nomination for this More In Monday, the 8th day of August 2016.
Naturally, it comes from the state of Florida. Okay, not pint-sized, half-pint-sized. Emerging from the gob of one Senator Marco Rubio, the following statement. I understand a lot of people disagree with my view, but I believe that all human life is worthy of protection of our laws, and when you present it in the context of Zika or any prenatal condition, it's a difficult question and a hard one, Rubio told Politico. But if I'm going to err on the side of life. What's he blithering and blathering about? This guy who was completely humiliated by the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini during the Republican campaign, the presidential primary pageant campaign. Well, naturally, he's talking about something he does not have. He's talking about a uterus, or millions of uteri, funiculi. He's talking about women's insides, about which he knows right up there with nothing, not a damn thing. And Marco Rubio wants us to have a law that says that if you, a female person with a uterus and all the attendant parts, pieces, and bits that go with it, if you should have a Zika fetus in you, Marco Rubio wants to make personally damn certain that you have no reproductive options whatsoever in terms of your a decision as to whether or not to carry that baby to term. No, really, it's not. This isn't the Onion. Because I double checked. He really said it. Good God, this man is a vicious POS. So, just to review, we know that one of the sequelae to the Zika virus, you know, most people can have Zika and not even know it. But if a woman who is pregnant gets the Zika virus, her risks of giving birth to a baby with a condition known as microcephaly goes up substantially. And Marco Rubio wants to make sure that that woman has no ability to terminate her pregnancy whatsoever. And in his merciful, gracious goodness, whatever religion it is he is lately, he's been just about everything there is to be, right? You know, except atheist or agnostic, which aren't religions. He's been a Southern Baptist. He's been a Mormon. He's been a Catholic. I guess he hasn't found the neighborhood Russian Orthodox Church yet, but that's not to say he's not looking. And maybe the Methodists are probably not going to be a Whiskey Episcopal. Bunch of liberals, whatnot that they are. Probably couldn't find a Unitarian church on his ass with both hands. But you get the idea. You'll forgive me. It provides me hope for myself, but I am still able to be surprised by some of this crap. Really? He wants not only for a baby with an absolutely debilitating condition to be forcibly birthed onto this. Is it the Bible that refers to this place as a vale of tears? Or was that Shakespeare? Kind of hard to tell sometimes. And I've got a kind of a little a Shakespeare nomination for Moran Monday. And it remind me in a second. But he wants to make the baby be born, and he wants to make sure that mama has to bear it. Now, this is one of those little empathy thought experiments. And it's not really a thought experiment because I can't even get there. I cannot begin to conceptualize what it would be to be a human female knowing that a baby is growing inside you whose life will never be anything but abject misery for said baby, which might grow into, might not grow into, an adult human, and the mother who bears it. I can't. I mean, the grief that attends that is overwhelming. And if you sit and ponder it for a second, you'll probably find it the same way. But Marco Rubio wants to make sure that America has lots of Zika babies, microcephalic babies. Now, meanwhile, Marco Rubio is, of course, a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual Christian, not to mention a fiscal conservative, who would compel women to have these children, but would never ever vote for a bill to provide complete cradle to grave care for the babies he wants to compel to be born. You know, sometimes, well, it's stories like this that compel me to reach out for some more philosophical commentary on it. Yeah, that.
You dick!
Precisely. As Carol Baker points out, well, that's the Christian way, Bob. One must always punish a woman for her sexuality while at the same time rewarding men for theirs. There's Zika out there, for God's sake. If you women's don't know enough to keep your legs shut, you deserve it. And no food stamps or money for the care they'll need. Boo, you whore! Whores! Filthy transmitters of the sin of Eve. Yeah, did you ever think about it? The Zika virus might be the sin of Eve. God's will, y'all. Because God is love, y'all. Under the subject line, suffering, Scott in San Diego says, human suffering is neither noble nor inevitable. It exists because we permit it to happen. Quite often, religious, political, and business forces encourage suffering as it serves to help further their ends, interests, and purposes. Isn't it nice that they've got a nice little death cult religion to leverage in that regard? Suffering, 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 suffering. Some inexplicable, some more explicable. From the inexplicable department, I received word last week and it broke my heart. I had a very dear friend when I was in college. Lovely guy, good buddy, fraternity brother. Had a constant happy and cheerful outlook on life. He took his family on a beach vacation late last month. Storm blew up, and they were all getting in the car when lightning directly struck his 5-year-old boy and killed him. Inexplicable. Or the story I saw on Carol Baker's page last night of the 10-year-old boy who wanted to ride the world's tallest, fastest water slide. And he did. And he died on the slide. And isn't there enough? I mean, I'm not trying to be Dave Downer or anything at the beginning of More and Monday, but isn't there enough explicable and inexplicable suffering in the world without Marco Rubio out there running around trying to add to it? Tom Fredan is director of the Centers for Disease Control. He says, we've never had a mosquito-borne disease that can cause a birth defect. That's why we take it so seriously. The key is to protect pregnant women. Meanwhile, little Marco Rubio, fucking pipsqueak, said, obviously, microcephaly is a terrible prenatal condition that kids are born with. Man, how can you compete with intellectual prowess like that? And when they are, it's a lifetime of difficulties. So I get it. I'm not pretending to you that that's an easy question you ask me, but I'm pro-life, and I'm strongly pro-life. I believe all human life should be protected by our law, irrespective of the circumstances or condition of that life. Meanwhile, U.S. Representative Patrick Murphy, who's running for the Senate in Florida, said Rubio has exploited the Zika crisis to attack women's health funding and Planned Parenthood. You know, which is true. Which is true because Florida has America's fastest growing Zika case outbreak. It's crossed the 400 number now. Objection coming from Brother Deacon Asa. I object, Your Honor, in nominating the high-heeled hyena for the opening Moran. I wonder that you're reaching for the lower than a snake's belly low-hanging fruit. I submit you, sir, that you should have worked a little harder to find material. Little Marco is on par with Mrs. Moose Knuckles from Alaska. Ooh, fighting words. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you don't... If you're a woman who's pregnant in Florida, as far as Marco Rubio is concerned, your only recourse is to pray. A lot. Well, that's true too, Jeremy in Vermont. Noting that Marco Rubio does not, he's not so, the human life isn't so precious. He's not so much in Iraq and Afghanistan or Libya or Iran. They're not so white. They die every day from our direct help. Well, there's that. Oh, Marty, Ace's reference to the high-heeled hyena, and that's good. That's restaurant quality, Asa. That really is. Is in reference to Marco Rubio, the high-heeled hyena. So that's one. Oh, I mentioned a Shakespeare thing. So, totally separate nomination. We're just moving through them. Over the weekend, I don't know if you're like me or I'm like you, but sometimes, you know, sometimes I just go wandering around Amazon Prime, Netflix, what have you, just looking for something, anything to watch. I mean, you can only watch The Big Lebowski again and again and again so many times. No, there's never a bad day for The Big Lebowski. Or Barton Fink. Anyway. So I was just thumbing through, and I ran across a PBS/BBC so-called documentary. In the search for Shakespeare's skull. Interesting enough, I learned things I did not before know. And Shakespeare is allegedly buried in, a church, Holy Trinity, in Stratford-upon-Avon. Notice that's how they said it there, the locals did, not Avon, Avon, Stratford-upon-Avon. So, trying to, you know, just learn. But there are anomalies and there's stuff that doesn't make sense, and they used ground penetrating radar, and Shakespeare's grave has a curse on it for anyone who disturbs his bones. All caps coming from Carol Baker. I watched that too. Did you find it frustrating and a little bit less than satisfying, Carol? I got all the way through it. Listen, spoilers. Shakespeare is dead. He's dead, Jim. Obligatory Star Trek reference at 6:26 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, August 8th, 2016. Please make a note of it. And you find out some interesting stuff. You find out that there was a fad that arose with the phony baloney pseudoscience of phrenology, by which and that all kinds of people had their noggins grave robbed. They didn't want the rest of them, just the noggin. And so they pretty much, at least to my satisfaction, proved that something was a little dodgy with Billy the Bard's last resting place. And at the end, they went and they asked nicely the vicar of the Holy Trinity at Stratford-upon-Avon if they could pretty please just dig up Bill. And I think we shan't. You know, there's the curse there on the stone, and it's not it wouldn't seem to be particularly sporting or very much cricket to go and dig him up. You see, because there was this line that he used. I suppose that's a mystery with which we shall be forced to live. Meanwhile, there'd been all kinds of footage in this documentary of people wandering around Stratford, people wandering through the church, stopping to look at the final resting place of one William Shakespeare, and one fellow saying, yes, we charge $3.50 for that, for some sort of booklet about Shakespeare's grave or the circumstances of his life, whatever, right? So we charge $3.50 for that, and people tossing coins here, coins there, and maybe it's just because I'm jaded, but I watched that and kind of said, well, hell no, they're not going to let you dig in there and find out his ancient noggin's not in there, because that'll knock... because money! Nobody's going to show up to see the ancient resting place of the
world's most famous playwright if he ain't there? Or at least his, you know, last mortal remains of his noggin. I mean, the hand may have done the writing, but the noggin did the thinking. Maybe we were just supposed to draw that conclusion, but to sit there... Well, no. I think that's a mystery with which we shall be forced to live, don't you understand? Yeah, because all clerics in Britain sound like Winston Churchill to me. A rumpf. So that's just a little aside. Of course, they're not going to let you dig in there. You're going to... No. I mean, the only place where an empty tomb is a moneymaker is in the five or six or half dozen or, you know, three gross or whatever of holes in the ground in Jerusalem. No, it was here. His body was here, but it's gone because he flew up in the clouds. You got to, quick, you got a half shekel for an old ex-leper? So we've got that. Just, you know, nominees. And it's kind of like the Academy Awards. It's not like there's a winner at the end of Moran Monday. It's the act of being nominated that is the true dubious honor. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots, though. Really, really lots and lots. Oh, let's see. I don't know if you noticed it, but the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini has declared that Hillary Clinton... I'm sorry, I messed up. I forgot. New rule. The devil is mentally ill. He was rallying in New Hampshire and said to... she took a short circuit in the brain. She's got problems. I honestly don't think she's all there. She's unbalanced. Dangerous. Pathological liar. Unstable. Hillary Clinton lacks judgment, temperate, and moral character to lead this country, and I believe that so strongly. She's really pretty close to unhinged, and you've seen it a couple of times. The people in the background know it. The people who know her know it. And she's like an unbalanced person. All, of course, while waving his dick finger in the air. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he gave this economic policy speech today. I was driving back from taking Ferg to work. And did anybody else watch or hear that? Because that was the most weird, disjointed, bizarre, I mean, yeah. I mean, he would wait on applause lines where the applause didn't happen. And it didn't feel like internet latency or anything. It seemed just really, really attenuated. Appropriate word? Mm-hmm. And a big part of it was just a regurgitation of Republican disastrous economic talking points of the past. It's a, you know, giant ripoff. Ah, there we have it. Yep. Darlene in Connecticut noting, oh my God, OMG, subject line. Trump's projecting, total narcissist. Yes. Yes, Darlene, yes. Protesters did make him halt his speech about 12 times. Uh,
Not a lot of there. At least I was watching on the CBS. Well, not watching, listening on the CBS News app. And of course, the cameras were like the guns at Aqaba. They faced permanently toward Donald Trump, and apparently could not be turned around. So I'm not sure what the protesting was about, but then again, I had no problem receiving the speech, and I can't really tell you what the speech was about either. He was trying to sound presidential, but he still would wander off into, so great, yeah, definitely great. I don't know. Well, yeah, maybe I can find, somebody will find a story on what they were. But does the subject matter really matter? I mean, they were protesting. They were protesting Trump being Trump, which is a fine thing to protest. But it's a balance in the universe kind of thing. Because it seems like every time Trump does something stupid, there's an equal and opposite stupid reaction from the campaign of the devil. And in this case, it was outreach, a story of outreach by the Clinton team to what are referred to as GOP elders. And by way of GOP elders, who were the people we're talking about specifically by name are... Might want to get the hockey puck for this. Kinda Sleazy Rice goes great with Kinda Sleazy Chicken. Who was integral and central to one of the most massive foreign policy ups in the history of this country ever on Earth, in the universe today, now forever. Sleazy old James Baker, who helped give us Dim Leader in the electoral ripoff of 2000. George, I'm in control here, Schultz, with the tiger tattoo on his ass. Oh, really? And lastly, but certainly not least, Henry Kissinger. Yeah, that Henry Kissinger. The Henry Kissinger that I keep getting so upset about because no one seems to be able to get close enough to the campaign of the devil to get her to understand that that old fucker is toxic. But nobody seems to be able to explain that to her, and that's why Debbie Wasserman Schultz is her honorary campaign chair after, you know, she was found to be, you know, hopelessly corrupt and in the bag for the devil whilst running the DNC. So, it's like every time I, it feels like every time that I sort of consign myself to what I have to do in November, the damn geniuses over in the Devils campaign say, hey, let's make it a little harder. Let's spread another turd on the shit sandwich we're going to hand America. But here's the funny part. The Republican elders are keeping mum. Henry will come around, though.
Henry, they just don't understand me. It's the Jews, Henry, the Jews.
Yes, mein Führer.
Mr. President.
So, this sentence is about down into the article over at Win the Morning Politico. The former official said Clinton turned to Kissinger for insight during her efforts at the State Department to increase American involvement in Asia, so a Kissinger endorsement of Clinton isn't out of the question.
It better be. Honest to God, it better be. I'm trying real hard here. And I'm getting nasty emails. And all manner of crap. But it better be. I don't want to hear anything. No. Agent Fred, could you get a memo to the devil and let her know that people with consciences will be more offended than she could? Because there's only look. I keep seeing these things on Facebook and elsewhere about how. Well, they're just trying to get you to vote for her out of fear of Trump. And I go, yeah? Mm-hmm. Because that scares me. I mean, I during the entire time when he was still alive, I never for one moment felt one iota of fear of a 6'7" Arab wandering around the Hindu Kush with a portable dialysis machine. Because I was quaking with the foreknowledge that any moment my local Wally World would become a heap of smoking rubble. 'Cause Al-Qaeda. Donald Trump scares me. You know, it's kind of like that line from The Usual Suspects. You know, this one.
Well, I believe in God. And the only thing that scares me is Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, you can take Kaiser Soze and replace him with Donald Trump. And you know, voting out of fear is not a bad thing. Fear is a handy thing. You can make a compelling argument that evolutionarily, fear is why we're here. Fear, it's why we're here. Fear is what tells you to run instead of stand still and getting eaten by the tiger. Oh, okay, that was not George Shultz. Sorry, I made a mistake. That was Steve in New York telling me. I'm in control here. That was Al Haig. I get my authoritarian right-wingers with lust for power confused after a while. You're absolutely right. That was Al Haig, not Tiger-ass Shultz. But you know, fear has its place. But it only goes so far. And, you know, there's no getting around the fact that the devil has an excitement problem or an enthusiasm problem. It's not a gap. It's a crevasse. It's an abyss. It's a canyon. I don't know what's wrong with that campaign. But I'm deadly in earnest. I better not see. Okay, so I learned some stuff over the weekend. I've been saying that it would be a miracle if Hillary Clinton polled 20% in West Virginia. And it's not going to be that bad. It's going to be about 60 to 35%. It'll probably be like 62 to 35% with somewhere around 3% dead enders. You know, Jill Stein, Gary Johnson, that sort of thing. It could obviously be worse. But I can leave that blank. I don't have to. My vote is meaningless. It is strictly ceremonial here. I've got much more important business to take care of down ballot. I mean, I gotta help get rid of Tom Fast. That man's more dangerous to me and my family. In his position as a member of the West Virginia House of Delegates, by a long shot, than Hillary Clinton. I got down ballot work to do, and well, I mean Jim Justice, Bill Cole. Carol Baker noting, yesterday I watched Tim Kaine go on television and tell Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world, on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen, that America is hearing more and more about the devil and her work with children, and that's why her poll numbers are going up. No, Timmy. Teflon Don's numbers are in the shitter, and that's why her poll numbers are going up. But this is the most flat-footed training wheels campaign I have ever seen. I mean, Jesus God, at least George McGovern had the enthusiasm of the youth who wanted no more of their generation thrown on the funeral pyre of Vietnam. That wasn't fear. That was mobilization and activism. But you know, Ma and Pa Kettle decided they trusted that sweaty Republican Nixon. But they're clueless, aren't they? Absolutely, positively clueless. They actually put out there for public consumption again that she's running around sniffing after Henry fucking Kissinger? I mean, kind of sleazy Rice. Well, she's a fuck up like the devil is. Birds of a feather together. So while I don't approve, I can understand. James Baker, nasty old political fixer. That's the kind of crowd they run with. George Shultz, well, you know, he was a Secretary of State, and so was James Baker, and so was... But you get the idea. But Henry Kissinger, we're still putting up with this, we're still dealing with. Please, can we get the gang at The Hague to put down their canasta game for a couple of minutes and just indict him real quick? Damn. Henry Kissinger. Again, with the Henry Kissinger. It's like her campaign has Kissinger Tourette's. And then this. I was talking about fear a minute ago. Well, I got a Moran here. I think about, right. They were all secretaries of state. They were members of the Secretary of State Club. Thank you, Texas Betsy. But damn! Wasn't Thomas Jefferson an early prototypical Secretary of State? James Madison? Maybe we can dig up Zombie Jefferson and Zombie Madison. No, I don't think that's going to work. But, our buddy Todd down in South Carolina, Stan, periodically reports on the insanity that he hears from time to time over on C-SPAN. And it can get pretty nutty over on C-SPAN. And as Carol points out, she isn't winning. Trump is just losing. There's a huge difference. And one of those huge differences is that if he can stop losing, he's still got a chance, which fills me with a sort of existential dread. Because nobody's going to, her poll numbers aren't just going to, no, they're not. So this morning on C-SPAN, as C-SPAN solicited thoughts on Donald Trump's economic speech there to the Economic Club of Detroit, even the support Trump line, there were some misgivings.
I think, he's a businessman, and he will fix all of that. There's only one thing that scares me about him is he's a very headstrong person and he don't like listening to people. And if there will or ever be a World War III, that might happen with him because he's so bullheaded and headstrong. But hell, it's in there. We'd probably win, hopefully. I think.
You got that? World War III. And you get the idea that he's talking, nuclear weapons and stuff. But, we'd probably win. Yeah, hopefully. Kind of reminds you of what Einstein is alleged to have said. I do not know what weapons will be used to fight World War III, but I do know what weapons will be used to fight World War IV. Sticks and stones. Oh, mother. But, we'll probably win. And by the way, I went looking over the weekend trying to find the War Game, not the Matthew Broderick movie that Robert in Australia told us about. Couldn't find it, damn it. I found one DVD of it for sale on Amazon for like $49 or something. No. But that, World War III, you know, we'll probably win, you know, hopefully, Moran. But the Matthew Broderick movie, War Games, where the computer has to learn that the only way to win is not to play. And dude there still hasn't figured that out. Because, you know, we'll be winning so much we'll get sick of winning. Oh, by God, if there's ever a scenario where you could get sick of winning, it would be winning a nuclear holocaust. That would seem to be the most, yeah. Which will win, yeah, hopefully. You know, with a nuclear holocaust, a question arises. How can you tell if you've won? Answer? Well, you can't. That's just sort of how it works out. Would you like to play a game? Yes, global thermonuclear war. Which will win, probably, hopefully. Eesh. Morans. They're gonna be the death of us. And, you know, that ain't allegory in that case. So here we are at the close of the filibobster for this 8th day of August 2016. It's been a quiet day and Mount Colby gone. No, none of that. Try to raise $200 every evening. We are at zero. Hopefully it will not remain that way. Because, well, we've got to do the fundraising. I'm sorry, we do. If we want to, you know, keep having a radio network. So I'll cross my fingers that somebody out there will start hitting the PayPal button. In the meantime, you know how to reach the program if you'd like to engage in conversation. I trust you know the numbers. Maybe you've got them written down somewhere or whatnot. The stress line, area code 304-663-4676, named in memory of the irrepressible Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, gone but not forgotten. That's 304-663-HORN. The other line, 304-574-8178. We just call that the other line. And from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, free and easy. Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. And with that having been said, yeah, a little break and your calls or more filibobstering. It's entirely a matter of your preference. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. I hate those cold endings, don't you? Nonetheless, the tune had a certain piquancy, didn't it? AC/DC, War Machine. Yeah. This is the horn. Moran Monday. Thanks, Jeremy in Vermont, for getting us started this evening. Thank you very kindly. Hopefully you'll have some friends and neighbors to stand side by side with you, and we'll take care of Monday's fundraising and not have a Tuesday hole. That would be awesome. Hey, look, it's Brother Deacon Gerald, chairman of the Building and Grounds Committee at the Cathedral of Common Sense. Hey, Gerald.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I do.
Wait a minute. Let me turn you up. I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
I can't hear you.
Bloody hell.
All right. Now we're good.
Okay, cool.
We should be good.
I hope we are.
We're good.
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 I hear you, and you hear me, Dimitri, and you're coming in clear, and everything's just wonderful.
Wonderful, comrade. So what have you been up to?
Morans. It's Monday.
Oh.
Always Morans.
Well, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, you know. Aren't you going to ask me what I've been up to?
What have you been up to, Gerald?
Oh, I don't know. Pokemon Go and the Trump campaign.
No, wait a minute. You have not. No, you, have you been assimilated?
No.
I'm not talking about the Trump. I'm talking about the Pokemon Go.
Pokemon, Pokemon Go.
Mongo only pawn in Great Game of Life. Thank you, Michael and Madison.
might have something to do with where Choo Choo go.
Oh, I forgot that one.
yeah. Classic movie. Classic.
Mongo loves Sheriff Bart.
I had an update on a Moran.
Oh yes, we've got a Moran update.
Yeah. Remember, it's been a while back. I told the story of Mr. Christopher Ayesh in St. Albans.
Yes, with the guns behind the fireplace?
The cocaine lab.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes.
Well, Dateline, August 7th here, according to the Gazette Mail, Mr. Ayesh made his own cocaine to avoid toxins in the street-level drugs, his lawyer wrote in a sentencing memorandum.
Oh, good. He was a holistic coke dealer.
And I knew you'd find that somewhat amusing. I'm sure a lot of the listeners have, too. Yeah. Let's see. I'll just kind of skip through here. And he'd been set for sentencing on Monday. It's been pushed back until August 31st. And he faces 5 years to life. Federal advisory sentencing guidelines call for a sentence of about 60 months. His lawyer, without further information, one would be tempted to conclude that the presence of a drug manufacturing endeavor involving such equipment and sophistication with such armament close by was that of a cartel-style drug operation. The facts of this case clearly demonstrate otherwise, attorney Mark McMillan wrote. You know, this is good. So we get down here.
It's quality.
Well, it gets better. Now, to update everyone who doesn't remember, there was a hidden room behind a fireplace in his basement. Obviously not very well hidden. Because federal agents, he admitted, first they found more than 60 firearms, including a machine gun, silencers, and thousands of rounds of ammunition. The area was set up to manufacture cocaine.
I wonder if those were free-range, cruelty-free machine gun bullets.
Oh, that part gets better.
Oh, goody.
He admitted, as a controlled substance, he admitted a cocaine handbook, and that's in quotes, and a book about clandestine labs were found Ingredients used to make cocaine were recovered. A pill press and thousands of empty pill capsules were also found in the home. But, you know,
has anybody told the DEA that that cocaine is not in pill form?
It's all organic, though, because he didn't want to get that.
Well, know, yeah, I mean, damn.
Trash it. Yeah. I'm just skipping over the boring part here. Oh, this is the part I was looking for. Okay, after federal agents found more than 60 firearms, including machine gun silencers and thousands of rounds of ammunition, his lawyer, Mr. McMillian, I mispronounced that, I'm sorry.
No, it's pronounced McMillan.
McMillan? Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Yeah, whatever.
Friend of mine.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew of a McMillan. It wasn't spelled that way. Anyway, Iash is a firearms enthusiast, his lawyer wrote, as an explanation for the quantity of guns recovered by law enforcement.
And you know what? That's the absolute truth. I mean, there's people all over this state got more guns than they got food.
Second Amendment.
Yeah, absolutely. Praise Jesus.
Amen. In God we trust.
Et cetera. Skip a bit, brother.
Skip a bit, brother. Here's a quote from Mr. McMillan. There's no suggestion that anyone was ever threatened with the weapons or that Mr. Iash ever fired a shot in anger. To the contrary, law enforcement officials universally described Mr. Iash as compliant and cooperative to a fault, including the search of his premises where the guns were seized.
No, over here's where my guns are. No. You don't hear the feds say cooperative to a fault. That means he was showing them shit they didn't want to see.
Shit they didn't ask for. And if you come down here behind the fireplace, is where I've got my clandestine cocaine lab. Oh, wait a minute. Instead of forfeiting his two homes to the federal government, he agreed to turn over 8 parcels of land in Jefferson, formerly incorporated town of Jefferson, to Gonalka.
Yeah, otherwise known as...
I'm the mayor. No, I'm the mayor. No, damn it, I'm the mayor.
I'm the mayor, and so's my wife.
Well, I'm the police chief. No, I'm the police chief. That was quite comical. Made the Daily Show. The guns he owns will be destroyed, prosecutors previously said. And now this is a little backstory to Mr. Iash. His drug problem began after he injured his back in a car wreck in 2002.
Just like Rush Limbaugh.
That's right. He was prescribed opioids regularly through 2013. To replace the opioid dependency, Iash began using other drugs, including cocaine, the filing states. Assistant U.S. Attorney Haley Bunn has said that for the past several years, Iash was addicted to cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, and prescription pills. Iash would purchase cocoa leaves. It says cocoa leaves in this. That's not right.
Cuckoo for cocoa leaves.
That's wait a minute.
I'm just asking here. Are you reading the Dead Tree version or the online version?
The online version.
Okay, so when it's a newspaper, one wonders, does the Dead Tree version get edited first and then it goes online? I don't know how this production works. I suspect we have people in the Horn Family Community Congregation who could answer that question. But it says COCO. C-O-C-O-A?
Yes.
Not C-O-C-A-O.
Or correct.
No, C-A-C-A-O.
It says C-O-C-O-A.
Okay, because see, there aren't any. There's no such animal.
They're beans, aren't they?
They are beans. Magic beans, okay? You can grind up cacao leaves until hell won't hold you, and I mean, you ain't gonna... No. Mm-mm. No.
Well, I get kicks out of that. I see that stuff all the time on online publications. I'm like, God, is anyone proofing this copy? Anyway.
Cocoa leaves.
He would purchase cocoa leaves.
You know, I think you can get those at Godiva, Gerald.
Probably.
You know, they're little leaves, and they're made out of chocolate, and they cost about $15 a piece.
You can get the all-natural version at GNC.
I'm damn straight.
You buy those in 5-kilogram units. That's about 10 pounds.
Well, economies of scale, right?
Right. And he would buy them in 5-kilogram units and have them shipped through the mail. That's socialism for you right there.
Yeah, well, damn straight.
Socialist drug dealers. McMillan noted that the large amount of leaves would only produce between 8 and 10 grams of cocaine. Well, you know, Mr. Ash avows.
That's somewhere in the neighborhood of a little more than a quarter ounce.
Correct.
I mean, you can't even do a decent Tony Montana impression with that. I mean, it's like Richard, you remember when Richard Pryor talked about back when Leon Spinks got busted with 50 cents worth of cocaine?
Yeah.
And Richard said, 50 cents worth of cocaine, melt before you get the paper open.
Yeah. Well, he avows, and it is, Mr. Ayash, that is, avows, and it is undisputed that he chose this method over street drugs to ensure the exclusion of typical contaminants found in the street drugs, McMillan wrote. Because, you know, we can't be taking that, snorting that shit that the proletariat uses. Because he's an upstanding businessman, pillar of the community type guy.
Damn Skippy.
With 60 guns in his hidden room basement.
For freedom.
I missed the other part.
Yes, there was more?
Oh, I got to the end of the article, but there was another part. Let me go back here real quick. Oh, here it is. This is where it gets really good. Several days after searching Ayash's St. Albans home, agents searched Ayash's second home on Rich Hollow Road in Lewisburg. Another pill press, cocaine, and more guns were found. So you see, he was going global with this. He's a job creator.
No. He's just he's a small-scale entrepreneur. He's not even an entrepreneur. You know what the problem with the French language is, Gerald? They don't have a word for entrepreneur. it's just he didn't want to transport. Every time he wanted to go for a nice weekend away in Greenbrier County, he didn't want to have to transport his entire clandestine drug lab with him. So you just set up a clone of it there at your Greenbrier retreat.
Well, I'm sure it was a smaller scaled down version, you know, for like for traveling, kind of like, you know, when you go to your summer home. You don't take your toothbrush from your regular home. You have a new toothbrush there, right?
Right. Exactly. Like that? See, yeah, you get it.
Of course, I get it. I understand. I truly do. Yeah. But you know, poor guy, gonna lose all his guns. You know, that's the Second Amendment, right? Amendment.
Yeah. And what's worse. All around America, they are gun goobers are probably weeping copious tears because the poor things are going to be destroyed.
That's true, if they haven't already been. Just like the video, you know, that the NRA put out back when Australia destroyed all the guns they had. I know there was Australia and some Canadian and some. In the UK, when they took all those poor citizens' guns and destroyed them, disarmed the public. I know you know the video I'm talking about.
I do.
Yes. I do. See, again with the Blazing Saddles.
You know, once you've gotten into that groove, it's awful hard to get untracked.
It's almost as bad as Monty Python.
Yes. I'd say they're co-equal.
Oh, of course. But anyway, that's all I had.
Well, I got something that's been laying around for a little bit. Didn't you send this to me?
Hell, I don't
know. Dateline Martinsburg. The Republican nominee for sheriff in.
Oh yeah. Hum a few bars.
The Republican nominee for sheriff in Berkeley County. Which is up
remind
in
you, that's a real red county, by the way.
Oh, it's blood red. And it's up in the eastern panhandle, not far from, you know, it's a nice train ride from D.C.
Or a short commute in an automobile.
Well, not on those highways. It ain't short. It's a nice, it's a nice park on the interstate in that in an automobile.
Yeah.
Republican sheriff nominee for Berkeley County, West Virginia, John Orem, O-R-E-M, got arranged. That's how we pronounce it here. It's arraigned, but in West Virginia, you get arranged before the magistrate. Well,
yeah, you get arranged before you get shipped your cocoa leaves to make your cocaine.
Cuckoo for cocoa. by the way, I am informed by Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, that Lawyer Daggett says there ain't no law against Hershey's cocoa.
It is when you try to make a pill out of it.
Yeah, but did you ever try snorting it? It's a real blast.
It gets all over your face, your fingers. And yeah. It's a mess.
Oh,
especially
God.
Especially if you put sugar in it.
I hate myself, but I stopped at McDonald's this morning. Margie wanted one of the frappes, and I had to be the smoothie whisperer again. No, really, you put the lid on different, and it'll get...
You know, if you're going to drink coffee, drink coffee. If you're going to drink hot chocolate, yeah. For God's sake.
No, but this is frozen. This is like an icy.
Oh,
this is,
whatever.
It's been frapped.
Sure.
Well, anyway, John, sheriff nominee for the Republican Party, John Orem, has been arranged and released on $5,000 bond. Somebody dropped the dime, when I guess EMTs or whatever went to his home, they found him, and the term used is, of course, he was found unresponsive at his home in Inwood. And
yeah.
Trooper M.D. Gilmore said that they found a cotton ball in the bathroom cabinet that tested positive for heroin. Now, I have to remind people, because I don't think this being Moran Monday, I don't think I actually got this into the program. Did you hear about this story out of Florida? Did I tell this story? So the guy stops for a donut at the he goes to the 7-Eleven, and he was there for a friend, but it was sort of in a high crime, dodgy kind of skeevy, sketchy neighborhood.
Oh, it's not my pot, officer. I'm holding it for a friend. That type of thing?
Well, no, not even. Oh. So he goes into the 7-Eleven and comes out of the 7-Eleven and doesn't buy anything in the 7-Eleven, so that's obviously suspicious activity. They drop the dime on him. The cops pull him over. And, citizen, can I see your papers? Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Well, your papers are in order, citizen. What's that stuff on the floor? Mm-hmm. Yeah? You say it's a flake of sugar glaze from a Krispy Kreme donut, do you? Yeah. Is that your story?
I remember this now.
Yeah.
Step out of the car, sir.
We're gonna have to get our rolling road lab testing kit in there. Yeah, put some of that suspicious substance in the rolling chemical lab road testing. Aha, just what I thought. It's meth. It's meth, damn it. Well, we better test it again. Oh, no, it's crack. It's definitely crack. Whatever. Did you remember the detective shows where they'd find the bag of white powder, and the cop would kind of dip his little pinky in it and touch it to the tip of his tongue and go, yeah, it's smack, it's horse, it's heroin, it's H. We can't do that anymore. We have to use the super-duper spiffy gym crack a portable drug lab drug testing device in which all answers are either crack or meth.
Yeah.
And it turns out it really was. It really, really, really was donut sugar.
Thanks, Obama.
So while I'm more than happy to note that a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Republican sheriff's candidate in Berkeley County, West Virginia, has been popped for heroin because he apparently OD'd. I wonder, A, why was the cotton ball in the bathroom cabinet? Really? I mean, I know fiscal conservative Republicans are out there, Gerald, but this is fucking cheap. I mean, I know they reuse needles, but now they're reusing cotton balls? Really? I mean, you can get about a billion of them at your local CVS for, you know, 89 cents.
Yeah, and your point? I'm just messing with
you. No. The Gazette notes, Orem is a former Martinsburg police officer who defeated 8 GOP challengers in the May primary. He'll face Democrat Curtis Keller and independent candidate Lisa St. Clair in November. Incumbent Democratic Sheriff Kenny LeMaster is seeking a House of Delegates seat. Well, good for him.
8 candidates. I know you remember this because I think you were around at the time in a certain county when a certain Roby Knight retired, and there were like
Roby Jack.
500 candidates for sheriff.
Oh my God. Hell among the year.
Not to run against him. I mean, yeah. Well, he was released on $5,000 bond. So, you know, he must be a good upstanding pillar of the community. I'm sure.
Well, but I mean, how does a charge of heroin possession lie for something on a cotton ball?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, that's it? The cotton ball? Because I'm looking at the story. That's all there was? Trace amounts of heroin on a cotton ball and you're going to get popped for heroin possession?
Well, me thinks there might be something afoot.
Well, one wonders.
Uh-huh.
I'm just looking for the paragraph in there about how his problem started when he had a back injury in a car wreck.
Well, I'm reading the Herald Mail. It says his arrest does not require him to withdraw from the general election, but voluntarily doing so by August 16th would allow the GOP to fill the vacancy on the ballot, according to the county and state election officials. And then they have until the 24th to fill the vacancy, should one occur. He received 20.6% of the vote in the May primary in a 9-candidate race. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he's facing a Democrat, Curtis Keller of Bunker Hill, West Virginia, and a third-party candidate, Lisa St. Clair of Martinsburg, mm-hmm. in general. Huh. The incumbent.
You'll notice she's running as an independent and not a member of the Mountain Party. Does that tell you anything about the popularity of the Mountain Party?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what's this? They sent an email to Craig Blair, Senator Craig Blair. And they quote him here in the emails, and this is to me, it's an indication of how serious the epidemic when a candidate for a law enforcement office in the second largest county in the state is addicted to drugs.
I'd be careful making allegations like that when the charge is you had some smack on a cotton ball that might be Krispy Kreme donut sugar.
Yeah. We absolutely must address this issue, and we cannot delay. We are losing a generation of West Virginians to this widespread affliction, and our state's legacy and our youth deserve more. My thoughts and prayers are with John and his family in coming weeks as they deal with getting him the treatment he needs.
Thoughts and prayers, y'all. Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers will stop bullets, and they'll heal heroin addictions. It's amazing stuff. But you know, talks about this widespread.
All we need is, you know what? You know what'll fix that heroin problem? Big glass of warm, fetid, raw milk.
Of course. Of course it will. And a big handful of OxyContins, too. Because apparently this state is the place to dump them. Because our Attorney General is in bed with the big pharma.
I think he's passed in bed. I mean, we're talking about the clothes are off and, well, limbs are twisted and wrapped around things. And
I was reading it all.
Yeah.
where, you know, this is the same attorney general that has refused to recuse himself from any cases against Cardinal Health was one of them, where he used to, a pharmaceutical company he used to lobby for.
Yeah, that would be them.
In Maryland. Yeah, I think that's him. And his wife is still a lobbyist for them.
Yep.
But he didn't see any conflict there.
Because he can't see it. I mean,
same attorney general that loaned his campaign like so many million dollars, and then after he was elected, held fundraisers to pay himself back, which is technically not illegal, but it is, to me,
skeevy,
very unethical.
Yeah, skeevy, sleazy,
yeah,
dodgy,
that's
nasty,
about as sleazy as you can get. You know, that's pretty bad.
And the dumb bastard will probably be reelected.
Yeah, that's the bad thing. That's what scares me the most.
Now, Gerald, just by way of transition, I sat in on I went to a thing on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Democrats.
A dying breed in this state.
And it was depressing. Because there were some interesting things said, like, our brand is toxic.
I wouldn't argue with that.
And it was, but the good news out of that is that Hillary Clinton will get 35% of the vote in West Virginia. Ooh. I'm sorry, I did that wrong. The devil will get 35% of the vote in West Virginia.
35%, you say?
Yeah, that's more than I expect. But that's about the number of hardcore Yellow Dog Democrats still in this state.
I was figuring it more about 30%, but yeah, it could be 35. Could be.
I mean,
but November's a good ways off.
That's weird. If you could convince 15. If you could convince 15% of the electorate to, you know, not vote for an orange tomato bug.
Are you kidding me? In this state?
But the question becomes one of how do you do that when they're out there hustling for the endorsement of Henry Kissinger? Well, never mind. Those 15% have no idea who Henry Kissinger is, right?
True. All that matters here is that she hates coal and coal miners.
You're going to put coal miners out of work, even though they's already out of work. It's her fault.
That's right. It's all her fault. Thanks,
thanks, Obama, and that Kenyan Muslim in our White House.
His war on coal. War on coal. God bless the coal miner. You know, hey, I do want to say something. I respect coal miners. I'm not making fun of them. And I feel their plight. I respect
the underground miners. I got nothing for a mountaintop remover.
Well, the strip miners, they're just ex facto construction workers, equipment operators. I mean, there's
demolitions, you know, workers.
Basically, if you're not a powder man, you're a truck driver, or you're a loader man or something like that. You're just an equipment operator, really. I mean, I'm not in it. Yeah,
I take that from old school underground miners. They go, them some bitches ain't miners.
And I would agree. I mean, they're excavation contractors more than anything. And, you know, hey, everybody needs a job. But I understand why they feel the way they do. Because, you know, that's the only thing they know.
Well, and you know what? I understand why the woolly mammoth in the tar pit bellowed to the tops of his lungs as he went under the tar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that's cruel, but I understand why all those, where I grew up in Alabama, there was a wagon works. And they were a famous wagon works. They sent wagons all over the country. And I understand why the wagon workers were real pissed off at that newfangled automobile. And the fellas and the fellas that worked braiding leather at the buggy whip factory, well, they were pissed off too, because you don't need no buggy whip in an automobile.
This is true.
And the question and so the question becomes one of how do you find meaningful remunerative work when the industries that support communities go and die?
Well, you know, I'm going to blame a lot of the state leadership on that for not diversifying the economy.
You know,
I remember back in the 70s and 80s, you know, I'll speak in a native tongue, boys, it ain't going to last. It ain't going to last. And, you know, here we are 30 years later and it ain't lasting. You know, they were telling them back in the 80s, you know, you're seeing a little boom now, but it's not going to last. And here we are. And nobody heeded the warning because all of our politicians are in big Cole's hip pocket. Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter.
I raised that very point. I said, you know, this is truly a matter of a pox on both their houses. But if you consider the profound majority that the Democratic Party had in the 70s and 80s in West Virginia, I mean, it was huge.
Well, of course it was.
The Democratic Party has to share the lion's share of the condemnation because they could have and chose not to. It's not like they forgot. It's not like they didn't hear. They chose not to.
I agree 100% with you. And it's something that I will tell any Democrat. You know, the Democrats are implicit in this just as much as anyone else. Because they had the majorities for 70 years and could do basically anything they wanted to and chose not to. And here we are.
And up until the 70s, that's okay because we didn't know any better. But we started learning better in the 70s. You know, by the time Jimmy Carter's president and he's talking about, you know, we've got to transition away from fossil fuels, he wasn't just talking about all oil.
Well, no.
And so, you know, no, really, I mean, there's not enough damnation to go around.
Well, you know, and the bad thing is, the market is, they can yell about Obama's EPA and all that, and that may have something to do with it, but that's going to be a small amount. The market has gone away. There is no market for it because of all this damn frack gas, and which is no better. I mean, either breathing in poison noxious fumes from the dust from the strip mines or mountaintop removal mines. We called them strip mines back in the 70s.
Right.
And
that's before they went on steroids.
Yeah. And or, you know, you drink poison water from all the frack water that they
Which brings up another issue, Brother Gerald.
Tell it, Brother Bob.
What are you doing tomorrow night?
I don't know. Probably here.
How about a little road trip? Because I don't think I can make it. But God knows we need warm bodies. How about making a little road trip over to, say, Kanawha City?
The DEP building?
Yes, the very.
Yeah.
Because there's a public hearing tomorrow night.
Oh, really? All over the water standards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people are going to just love this. So the West Virginia Department of Environmental Permitting, I mean protection, and they don't seem much interested in the protection part of it, have decided that our water is too clean. Now, this after the Freedom disaster of January 2014, our water is too clean. So they want to change the standards because the Republican teabagger legislature wants to change the standards. And they want to allow more cancer-causing chemicals into West Virginia's streams. I wish I was kidding. I'm not kidding. And you know I'm not kidding, right, Gerald?
I know you're not kidding. Because I know how the West Virginia DEP is.
What they want to do is they want to change the models whereby they test for chemicals. And right now the model is for, and these are streams, whether it be a river or a little rivulet or a run or a brook or whatever, right now the standards are for low flow. In other words, when the least amount of water is flowing through it, the standards are for the amount of cancer-causing chemicals that can be in the water then. They want to change it to a higher flow. I think they call it like the holistic flow model or something. No shit. Something stupid. So that when the streams are running full and fast, you can have that much cancer-causing chemical in it, which means lots more cancer-causing chemical in the water. They want to do this.
Of course they do, because that's what they were told to do.
That's what they were bought and paid for to do.
I'm trying to get back to a post here.
So tomorrow evening in Charleston, there's a public hearing.
What time is it? That's what I wrote. You'll take your cancer and you'll like it, mister.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Then that on that same post that you made on Facebook, someone asked about the environmental protection.
6 p.m. DEP headquarters, 601 57th Street Southeast, Charleston, West Virginia.
6 p.m. I will try. No guarantees, but I will try.
And you know what? It needs to. It ain't as my friends at Cold River Mountain Watch put it. It's not just the tree huggers that need clean water. It's not just environmentalists that need clean water. All kinds of human beings, you know, being water-based life forms, need clean water.
Even animals need clean water.
Dumb animals.
Even, you know, animals that are in the food chain need clean water because, you know, that dirty water is consumed by those animals and then passed on up the food chain to those at the top. Yeah. I will see what I can do. I'll try to do that. It's at 6.
But I had that, yeah, I had that in the list for Moran Monday because, goddamn.
Well, I think my reply to this, you know, someone says, is this progress when the Environmental Protection Agency helps to legalize pollution? And then my reply to that was, it's not the EPA, it's the WVDEP, two separate agencies that operate entirely different. One does a decent job of protecting the environment. The other is run by the state of West Virginia.
Well, precisely. And here's the fun part. Now, if the... If the EPA says we think you should put peanut butter on crackers on a saltine on the smooth side, the West Virginia DEP will say, damn job killing EPA regulations, you put it on the bubbly side.
States' rights. Obama's overreaching EPA.
Damned old EPA can't get nothing right.
Well, now another thing that a lot of the listeners probably don't know is, you know, The WVDEP is, I don't quite know how to describe them. Help me out, Bob.
Inept, bot,
useless. Okay, so if something's going on and you want to, say, get the feds involved, then obviously, you know, because of our teabagging legislature, now you have to notify that agency that you intend to sue them 30 days prior to filing suit. You know, all in the name of tort reform and all that kind of bullshit. Then, after that, and I know you know how this works for sure, but if I'm not mistaken, DEP has like 60 days to respond to that, and they'll wait to like the 59th day and say, oh yeah, we're taking care of that, which knocks EPA out of the loop. Am I pretty much on target there?
You're there.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's exactly what they do every time. They wait until the very last day, and then they respond to it, which I guess in the eyes of the EPA, it's been answered or been taken care of. Oh, politics, bureaucracy.
Ineptitude, don't give a damnness.
It's all about the jobs, Bob. All about the jobs.
Jobs.
Right up the road from you is a big sign. And I know you see it.
Jobs, jobs, jobs.
On the left side of the road.
Tired of being 50th?
I was by there the other day. Actually, when I went up to Fayetteville on the motorcycle, I saw that. I said, but Kincaid gets a kick out of it.
Every time, I just giggle. That's right up there with the clean carbon neutral coal sign over in Beckley.
Right. Oh, is that still up?
Oh, yeah. Coal. Clean carbon neutral coal.
And if that were in Spanish, it would be...
Carbon. whatever the word for clean is. Carbon neutral carbon.
Yeah. Doesn't make much sense, does it?
It doesn't make any. But, you know, I did find out something interesting about this lovely place where I live.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The county?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Jim Justice's signs all say, tired of being 50th? And, you know, your answer is supposed to be, well, hell yeah. And so we are. We're 50th in education. West Virginia is. But get this. There are 55 counties in West Virginia, correct?
Correct.
Of those 55 counties, the county I'm in is 54th.
I guess McDowell is below you.
Bingo.
Ask me how I
know. No, Logan. Logan.
Oh, really, Logan?
Yeah, they're trying to do something in McDowell.
Boy, they need to. It's been a long time since I've been in McDowell County, but I worked in Welch back in the 90s. We were putting in a sewer system, sanitary sewer, and all the main pipe was in the Tug Fork River. So we all had to go get shots. We had to get tetanus shots and hepatitis B shots and typhoid shots and, you know, shots and shots and shots because we were actually working in that river, I guess you could call it. That was definitely an experience. The only thing that was even weirder than that was I went on down the road to War, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's only one hotel in War. And we were, you know, there 4 days a week. I walked into that lobby, never been in there before, to buy my room. And I felt like I stepped back in time 50 years because the place was decorated circa 1948. And I don't think it had been touched since then.
Pictures of FDR and Jesus and John L. Lewis on the walls?
Oh, yeah. You get the idea. So I go up the stairs and go to my room. And it, you know, all you have is a room. And it's just big enough for the bed and a dresser. That's it. There's a common bathroom at the end of the hallway and a little common or that's the way it was back then. I don't know.
No big fluffy white bathrobe?
Oh, no. No. I don't even think I had towels. I think you had to bring your own towels. but there was a common sitting area upstairs just down at the end of the hall at the top of the stairs where there was one of those newfangled TV sets, televisions. And that's where you get abreast of the news. But, that was definitely an experience for me. Never quite done anything like that since then. But it was a life experience that I will always remember.
Well, it's a sobering thing to ponder when you're next to last in the last county in the United States in education.
And you're not far away from the other county.
No. As the crow flies, yeah, no.
Well, hell, anywhere in West Virginia is not very far as the crow flies. We've discussed this before, Bob.
That's true. That is
about
true.
Travel time in West Virginia.
Yeah, we measure in minutes, not miles.
Right. It's only, what, 50, I'm going to guess, about 55 miles between me and you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an hour and a half drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
Yes.
Oh, there's nothing quite like West Virginia, and the rest of the world is the rest of the nation at least is damn glad of it, Gerald.
I have heard that before. Yes.
Yep. Oh, by the way, what'd you get at Secret Sandwich?
What do you think?
Eisenhower chips and dip.
Of course. But they were so crowded. Oh my God! And you know, I left here late, so I didn't get up there till. Oh man, it was 8:30 or so before I got there. I thought, well, you know, the crowd kind of calmed down. Hell no, man. They were parked. They were lined up down the road. So I said, well, it's a little bit cool, you know, going up the river, up the valley. And I usually have a long sleeve shirt that I put under my riding jacket, which is just mesh. So I thought, well, I'll run over here to Wally World and pick me up a long sleeve shirt. You know, button down, of course. So I go over there. I thought, well, you know what? I'll just call in an order and I'll pick it up and then I'll run on down the road somewhere and eat it. And then I'll go home. And that's exactly what I did. So I put it in my tail bag and I rode down to the New River Gorge Visitor Center and pulled in there. And it was getting dark. It started to get dark and sat at the picnic table. And ate my sandwich, and of course I brought the chips home, and then I rode home. Good little ride. I like that ride. That's one of the better.
Oh, it trips. Is a nice ride. as long as the road's in decent shape.
It was kind of wet going across the mountain, so I had to take it easy. But it's a great ride. If you ever want to ride motorcycle in West Virginia, you need to ride U.S. Route 60 from Charleston to Anstead, anyway, or over to U.S. 19, and then go down to Somersville, or go up to Somersville, or go down to Fayetteville, or whatever. But yeah, but I like that trip.
As long as you're not making it for work every day of your life.
Yeah, I can understand your yeah.
Yeah, not so much.
Yeah. And then you get behind the tourists who don't know the road, especially coming across the mountain. You know, that's bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, it can be a little exciting. Well, Gerald, it's been a lovely conversation and I do appreciate it.
Well, and, I'm gonna
hopefully I don't know, maybe when tourist season ends we'll get to sit down over a Sammy and some and that French onion dip is something special, isn't it?
I'm telling you. You know, everything in there is great though. I mean, really. It's just unbelievable. None of this, it's all, you know, all organic, I guess, would be the word.
Well, they try to as much as possible, yeah. And they like all the sauces and condiments and stuff they make their own ketchup. And that French onion dip is wonderful. You know how I feel about the pimento cheese.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I have yet to have a burger from there, though.
Oh, you got to try. So you like the Eisenhower. It's off menu now, but you got to ask him for the Renegade. It's named after Obama.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that his code name or something one time?
Yeah, that's his code name. And it's the burger. It's like the Eisenhower done with a burger.
Ooh.
Spicy. Ooh.
Spicy. Well, that would probably be an Edian type thing. And I didn't want to be up there so late, you know.
Yeah.
I would have waited because it's hard to ride. It's hard to see after dark.
Oh,
see through the turns and stuff. On the
well, and you know, it occurred to me the other night bringing Ferg home. It's August, so it's time to start counting fogs again, Gerald.
Yeah.
You count in Appalachia. You count fogs in August to figure out how many deep snows you're going to get.
And it was kind of foggy, at least on the mountain. When I got down to Golly Bridge, it was pretty clear from that.
It's been a foggy August so far.
Hadn't been too bad around here.
And by God, if that's not a bluegrass band name, I don't know what it is. Foggy August.
Foggy August. That's a good idea.
Yeah. See.
Foggy August. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go in off the ledge.
Well, I appreciate it. Be careful. Just kind of scoot over and swing one leg in through the window.
Well, Carol Baker needs to pick her damn cigarette butts up out here.
Oh, we're we save them to flick down at the teabaggers.
Yeah.
You know, when they're walking by.
And how does distinguish a teabagger from, say, a non-teabagger?
Well, the urine-colored snake flag T-shirts are a pretty much dead giveaway.
And the NRA hat.
Yeah, yeah, and the Obama trucker hats, yeah,
and the rebel flag tattoos.
Damn straight, you know, if you aim the cigarette butt just right, you know, get them right in the star.
All right then. My challenge still my.
No, it's been met.
Oh, it has.
It has been. It has been. It has been.
$20.
Yeah. Which, by the way, which will take us down. That'll make a total of 75 of the 200 we need to raise tonight, having come through.
Well, okay. Let me do it again. I'll do it one more time.
All right.
Another $20.
You're gonna put another $20 challenge up for
new subscribers.
Yeah. Two more $10 subscribers. You'll get your first month's.
Or one at 20,
yeah. You'll get your first month doubled, courtesy of Brother Deacon Gerald. By the way, everything worked out down in the Fellowship Hall kitchen?
Oh, yeah. No problems. Got it all taken care of. The building inspector came by. It's all taken care of.
Ah, good.
That
baked steak last week was real good, but I'm thinking even though it's hot August, it might be nearing chicken and dumplings time again.
Boy, I can only hope so.
Is there ever a bad time for the little old blue-haired lady's chicken and dumplings?
You know, rumor has it that they've got like 2 or 3 gallons of fresh blackberries down there in the refrigerator.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. They've already sugared them up, put sugar on them.
Yeah, you know what? If I ask them usually to save me a little bit of the syrup.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a daiquiri? Son of a gun. Blackberry daiquiri. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
So there may be some cobbler or even some pies this Wednesday.
Ooh, those little bitty handmade fried blackberry pies.
I bet we can talk them into doing that.
I tell you, you'll have to be awful nice.
Well, you know, they like me.
They do. I mean, you keep everything working down there.
Well, I try. Yeah.
Now if we can just get people to understand that those are not breath mints.
Has anyone refilled the bowl?
Yes, they are redesiccating now. It'll be another 20 years, but, you know.
Okay. Well, as long as the bowl is not empty, because it makes the vestibule look kind of poorish with that empty bowl sitting there.
Well, it did. One of the little old blue-haired ladies took it upon herself to go out and get a fresh box. I think she even splurged on the. She didn't get the Kroger brand. She got the Brock's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Name brand stuff.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
they desiccate a little better.
Nothing but the best for our congregation. Nothing but the best.
Absolutely. Even when it's just for show.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't eat the fruit on the vestibule table either. It's wax.
Well, you know when. When the kitchen was closed over the water line, I was afraid the deacons were going to eat.
Oh, I saw a deacon try to peel that banana.
Well, I saw one gnawing on an apple, and it couldn't have tasted very well.
Well, he looked at me and said, "Right mealy it is."
Yeah, I would agree. Well, all right.
All right, Gerald, you have a good evening. Let me know if you get to go to the gig tomorrow evening.
Oh, yeah, I've got that written down here. I need to.
And if you do, maybe you can report back or call in a live report. Who knows?
Oh, hey, yeah, that might be something. They probably threw them. Yeah, you know, they don't like them tree hugging hippies down there.
No, not in the least. Not in the least. Gerald, have yourself a good one. We will talk soon.
Okay, Bob.
Easy going through the window there.
Okay.
All right. Later. Bye. Brother Deacon Gerald calling from just down the mountain. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. And like I said, so there's $125 to go in fundraising for the remainder of the evening. Thank you very kindly to Leo for jumping in alongside Jeremy and taking it down a notch. Much obliged indeed. Well, okay, no break. I got people calling. Let's see what's going on here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's Carl from Massachusetts.
Hey, Carl. How you doing?
Good. I got a challenge for your listeners.
Yes.
Hopefully, your listeners will transfer this to maybe Mike Malloy and Tom Hartman and Stephanie Miller. Since the asshole will not release his tax record, tax returns.
Yes.
They sure as hell ain't gonna take a fucking IQ test. Because we know he'll be like at 87 or somewhere in there. Can we get some of these really I don't know, anal people to look at all his just go through all his words, because he knows so many words and he's got such a big brain, and find out how many times he uses each word.
Well, I some of that's already been done.
See how many
Carl.
Words he actually uses?
Some of that's already been done. His vocabulary has been estimated to be in the neighborhood of a fourth grader.
Where can I find that on the web?
It's months old. But I remember reading
okay,
it, and now, now, a number of other people have started looking for the words he doesn't use, and two of the words he never uses are freedom and democracy.
Yes, because he doesn't believe in either.
So, let's see. And thus far in 2016, according to the breakdown, the historian who did this is Eric Foner. And the follow-up work was done by Todd Gitlin at Moyers & Company. Todd Gitlin says, let's see, in 2000, George W. Bush used the word free or freedom one time. He used just, unjust for two times, and equal or unequal and so forth, he used four times. That's 2000. By 2004, he uses free and freedom, George W. Bush, you know, pinhead, 35 times. McCain used the word free or freedom four times. Romney used it in 2012 14 times. And Trump is somewhere between zero and one.
Yeah, just like him. Because he doesn't believe in either.
Right. That doesn't give a damn.
Yeah. All right.
So that's, you know, that's out there.
All right. I'll check it tomorrow.
Okay.
I appreciate
okay.
that.
But your point is well taken. But yeah, he uses the vocabulary of a fourth grader. But the next question that comes on the heels of that, Carl, is does he know bigger words and he knows the mentality of the audience to whom he is speaking, or is he just that limited?
Stupid. I think I don't know. It's kind of, he's really an enigma. It could go either way.
Well, did you see or hear that speech today?
No, I didn't. I think I might have heard an excerpt.
It was bizarre.
Well, he had a teleprompter.
Well, if he did, it was breaking down.
I'll have to go look that one up.
I mean, it wasn't like my feed was buffering or something. And of course, he was interrupted, he was interrupted by protesters a dozen times.
Oh yeah, I heard that one too.
SCX. Those are the ones that I heard. There was a lot of protesters there. And he can't, I don't think he could really read that well. I think he's just spent his whole life being coddled and being, and hiring the right people who know how to do what he wants. You know, I really don't think, it's just like his son saying that, oh, I know how to run heavy equipment because my dad showed me how, or however he said it. And it's just, Trump's the same way.
Well, I mean, when you get right down to it, you know, Trump steaks, Trump vodka, Trump University, he doesn't really do much. What he does is he licenses his name. It's like Carl Icahn announcing, Carl Icahn announced that he's shutting down the Trump Taj Mahal casino because all it does is hemorrhage money.
Yeah.
He's not running it. Trump's not. Carl Icahn is.
But it has his name on it, so people think that it's Trump's. And that's all it is. I think he's just been coddled, and he's never been punched in the face or hit, or when he's talked back to somebody, he's never been given a bloody nose or anything like
that. No, he hides behind a cadre of lawyers.
Yes, because anytime somebody's, the only person that has said anything, has gotten away with saying anything bad about him is his ghostwriter. And when you tell somebody, a right-winger about that, they say, oh, no, he wrote his own book. No, I don't think that guy could write his own fucking, you know, wouldn't be able to write directions on how to take a dump.
Well, Steve from Georgia, by way of a little help, Steve from Georgia Stan just posted a link in the chat room. If you go to Politico, Carl, in answer to your question, if you go to Politico, Jack Schaefer, S-H-A-F-E-R, has an article dated August the 13th, 2015, almost exactly a year ago. And the title of it is Donald Trump Talks Like a Third Grader.
And he does. He really does. Right. I'm going to make everything great. I'm going to do this. I hope he doesn't get the call. I hope they do like they did with Nixon and Reagan and just hold off the, don't give them the football or the codes or, you know, limit. Those are the stories I've heard where Nixon and Reagan, they kind of limited them on how much they could access the nuclear football codes. Or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. So there's that. Meanwhile, I ran into another article that Representative Karen Bass, a Democrat from California, has started an online petition calling for Trump to have a mental health evaluation.
I think they just need to give him an IQ test. That will just settle everything right there.
Karen Bass says that she thinks he has narcissistic personality disorder.
Oh, there's so many people that have said so much shit, and anything you look at, it's like, oh yeah, yes, yes, that guy's gone. He's just been coddled too much. He's had yes men with him, and I mean, what the hell? He can't. His ex-wives can't even say anything because if they say anything about what he did or what they know, you know, what they know of him, they'll have to repay him back all the millions of dollars he gave to him in their divorce. You know, it's just all right. I gotta let you go.
All right, thanks, Carl. Good to hear from you.
I'm getting my own blood. I'm getting my own blood boiling. I can't talk.
I understand.
All right.
God, I understand. Take care, Carl. Bye now.
All right, bye.
And that's our buddy Carl from Massachusetts. Thank you very kindly. It's pretty. Well, you got to sort out. Is it deliberate or is he that dim? I don't know. Let's take a quick break. And again, thanks very kindly. We are thanks very kindly to Glenn. We are now $115 away from the fundraising goal for the evening. Hey, this could happen. 53 minutes to go. We can do 10 at 10 bucks or 20 at 5 bucks or 1 at 115 bucks, what have you. We can do that, can't we? Thank you very, very much for getting us this close. We're going to take a break and come back. Your calls or more ands. It's entirely up to you. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Daddy! I forgot the good times.
I don't know why, but that popped into my head when Gerald was talking about foggy patches and wet patches on the road between down the mountain and up the mountain, the Trans Island Skyway, Donald Fagen from Kamakiri Ed, from way too long ago, really. I mean, it doesn't seem it, but it was. This is The Horn. It is Monday, Moran Monday of... the 8th of August, 2016. And Gerald re-extended the subscription challenge, and damned if it didn't just get met. Note from Anani Muslim. Brother Deacon Gerald can pony up some money from his ill-gotten gains in the Hitler pool. Now, that doesn't count. Now, saying Hitler pool doesn't count as the Hitler pool. We still don't have a winner this evening. Let's run over to the phones. And hey, Jim, what's up?
Good evening. How you doing?
Well, you know, it's Monday. Getting along.
Well, there we are. Pursuant to Trump giving or being given an IQ test, no. They ought to get that son of a bitch the MMPI and any subsequent diagnostic tool that they can use.
Yeah, the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, is that what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they still use that, but I know it was used.
Yeah, that's where you come across with, like, introvert, extrovert, and there's, like, three or four more criteria.
500 questions. Roughly, it used to be.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the tool in a while, but I mean, it's definitely it's had good results in ascertaining abnormal behavior and things of that nature.
Well, the sad thing is nobody can make him do anything. I mean, do you remember when Ronald Reagan answered questions about his advanced age by saying, if there's ever a problem, I'll have myself tested and step down if there is. Well, of course, that turned out to be a giant lie, because he started having symptoms almost immediately upon taking office, and certainly almost immediately after being shot.
Oh yeah, definitely. That was that impacted upon him very seriously, and of course his wife's reaction to it, and her scheduling of all of his appointments around it, given by an astrologer. I mean, come on! And the RNC paid Joan Quigley for all that. So they say. I don't know. But I mean, you know, she, after his attempted assassination, really took over the scheduling things. And I mean, you read Kitty Kelly's book about her and the influence she had.
Oh, yes.
I will say this one thing for her.
They never sued Kitty Kelly. Truth is an absolute defense.
No, sir. Kitty Kelly never got sued. She's written a number of books about a lot of people, the Bushes, Jackie O, and Guy. I've got them all here. But I will say one thing for Nancy, though. I think she called his attention about trying to calm things down with the Soviet Union. I mean, I'll give her credit for that. I think she kind of got him by the stacking swivel and said, look, you know, what do we have to gain by all this? And we're going to have to try to do business with these people. I think she may have had some influence there. But other than that, I've never really been a fan of Mrs. Reagan. God rest her soul, wherever she is. I hope she is where she wanted to be, next to him. But, you know, I'll say that. But Trump is clearly unbalanced. I mean, he can keep on message, for a couple minutes, if that. And then he goes back into these ad hominem type of bullshit that, you know, you would expect out of a fifth grader who's been denied his recess, you know?
Well, did you catch the speech today, Jim?
I couldn't handle him. I just could not handle that son
of
a bitch.
Well, maybe this is just me projecting onto it, but it seemed like he was struggling to keep it together when he would be interrupted by the protesters. That he wanted to just lash out at them, but you know, somehow he was maintaining some degree of attempt at control.
Well, that's one thing he's done since he started his effort to be a candidate. I mean, throw him out. You know, he would get his brown shirts or whatever you want to call them, his thugs, and to throw these people out bodily. I mean, there was one case where he almost got sued. And, you know, he can't handle any type of conflict in his stream of thought. He is so used to being the one who says, you're fired, and him being the dictator of everything.
Well, by the way, I just had a note from Texas Betsy saying, please ask Jim not to insult fifth graders.
Well, no insult was intended, but, you know, I think fifth graders probably have a greater sense of equipoise than he.
Probably, at the very least, better morals.
Well, just equipoise, the ability to control yourself. I mean, he has no sense of self-control. I mean, when somebody, as long as things are going his way, and as long as people are cheering him and saying, go, 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 and doing all the stuff he says he thinks they should say and do, he's fine. But you let somebody interrupt him or present something that is in opposition to his train of thought, that he cannot maintain a constant train of thought.
No, he can't.
And you have this man who will be elected, possibly, and he will have an Ewo constantly with him, with a 46-pound nuclear football, and inside his vest pocket, he will have the biscuit. And the biscuit is the list of the codes and the people to whom they are given and to whom the war orders are issued. That's who you got handling.
Well, it tells me something, Jim, that even his supporters are saying, well, you know, he probably will start World War III. It's just that we'll probably win it, I hope.
We'll win it. All right. Okay. Let's see who won that one. That's for damn sure. Because I can quote Einstein, who said that the next war would be fought with sticks and stones.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, the man is clearly unbalanced. I mean, people get that way when they have achieved a certain level of power and, what can I call it? Not self-worth, but I guess in his own business, self-worth.
Well, but it also goes back to something else, Jim. And I raised it the other night, and I've been thinking more and more and more about it lately. Bernie got hammered for his age, 74. Madam Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton is 68. Nobody talks about the fact that Donald Trump is 70. And if you consider the way those three have lived their lives, I mean, say what you will about, I'm sorry, I got to do this, the devil. I don't think you can say that she's, you know, a real honky-tonking woman who's been out, you know, who's been out a-drinking and a-carousing and a-carrying on all her life. She seems rather a sober-sides Calvinist type. Bernie doesn't strike me as a party animal either.
No.
But you get the idea. Donald's probably done some pretty high living, and 70 is not outside the realm of possibility for some level of dementia to be kicking in.
Well,
and of the three, I'd say he's probably the most likely candidate.
God, I hope not. I hope that the polls continue, and I hope that her post-election bounce will propel her into the White House. But I don't know. You just never can tell.
But that's the thing. I don't think her bounce was a bounce, Jim. Her bounce coincided with Trump going completely off the rails.
Well, the result is just the same. As long as she can get more people, then he can get more people. I mean, these, you know, they're lies, damn lies, and statistics. And I think the Mambo poll today has her above 10% over him, if I'm not mistaken. That's the only thing I've seen today. But, you know, going back to Trump, I just think the man is mentally unbalanced and is so is so in love with himself and, you know, thinks that he is such a wonderful person with a, with his manly abilities. Let me put it that way. I mean, you know, he can sire three children by three people. And he just thinks that he's the greatest thing since Goliath ever to stride upon the field of battle. And as far as these other people who will not endorse him, this, that, and the other, I mean, look at that spectrum of humanity and the complexion of the Congress.
Well, I just checked over at 538.com, and you know, Nate Silver there does a daily. Daily snapshot, and it's based on all kinds of polls, yada yada yada, you know, Ouija boards, things like that.
Well,
and as of today, he's got 96% odds of Hillary winning versus 3.6% for Trump. Among other, you know, for all those people who think that, you know, now, oh, finally, this is the dawning day of the third party. Gary Johnson is at 0.3%, and Jill Stein is statistically non-existent.
So what are you saying about the 96%? I'm not sure I understand you.
Well, he does a daily snapshot of the odds of winning.
Okay, that's his biopsy.
And if the election were held today, it would she would win going away 387 to 150 electoral votes, 50% of the popular vote to 40% of the popular vote.
Secretary Clinton would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you might remember that the same snapshot the Monday after the Republican Clavern closed. You might recall that thing had Trump up 6 points. But here's where it gets weird, and I'm happy to be wrong about this stuff. If the election were held today in Georgia, Jim, Clinton's chances of winning are 75.6% to 24.3% for Trump. If it were held today. Now I'll really blow your mind. If the election were held today, Jim, Clinton's chances of winning in South Carolina are 51.8% to Trump's 48.1%.
Well, that's interesting. This is Nate Silver?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah, I mean, it tends to get things right more often than just about anybody else. I mean, he's got Arizona trending very pale blue. Hardcore redneck Missouri, Clinton's down only roughly 6% to Trump.
Well, you know, maybe things are getting a little better. I'm just
now, mind you, in Alabama, Trump's up 99% to 0.9%.
Well, I mean, shit, what can you expect from that place? I mean, please, no offense to your place of boyhood, but I mean, you know what's down there.
I know what's there. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. And just for fun. If the election were held today in West Virginia, Trump's chances would be 97.9% to Clinton's 2.0.
Well, that doesn't surprise me either. Though, strangely enough, this guy who is a tradesman who visits me often, who 6 weeks ago was just all over the Trump, and Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon, he came in to deliver some stuff. And he was going on about what a son of a bitch Trump was and how he couldn't be trusted. And he just didn't know what to think of what was wrong with Trump's hate, is what he told me.
It's a fair question.
And I just told him, I said, he's fucking nuts. I mean, excuse me, that's what I told you.
Dangerously criminally insane.
Exactly. I mean, you know, even, well, even Adolf fucking Hitler had more sense in his rise to power with the way he played his cards than Trump did.
He was evil. Trump is criminally insane.
As opposed to Hitler, who was, in my opinion, in his own way brilliant, but stupid.
Yeah.
Just being plain stupid. Attacking the wrong people at the wrong time. But I mean, you know, who am I? I'm just one person who has a voice, and, you know, I just happen to hear the tail end of the IQ test. I mean, if there's an IQ test, it should be, as I think you've stated before, an IQ test applied to the American electorate. But as Trump is concerned, that needs to be evaluated. And, you know, he would never do it, because such things like the MMPI or any type of psychological screening or whatever, they would be beneath him, or he is too narcissistic and too self-absorbed to even think that he can make a wrong decision. I mean, after all, he is the guy of The Apprentice. I mean, he's the big stud who's sired three kids by three different wives, the last of whom, melanoma. I hate that name because it's a horrible disease, but I guess you've applied it correctly.
But it fits.
But she sounds like one of the broadcasters I used to hear from Moscow, from Pravda.
And now it turns out she was probably cheating when she was over here, when she was first over here working.
Oh, and her degrees and all this other stuff. It's just a chimera. It's just a lie. And if the lie that's been told so big enough and long enough and well enough by the right people, I believe it. I mean, what did Dr. Goebbels say? Hey, if you go lie, don't tell a small lie. You tell a big lie.
It a lot.
And them small lies, well, you know, people get caught in them and they understand that. But you tell that big lie, ooh, Lord, people got to believe that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, you have yourself a good evening, and we will talk soon, I hope. My best to Mr. Rufus.
Well, let's hope so. And by the way, I thought the Olympic opening ceremonies were absolutely wonderful.
Didn't see them, but I am proud. I am proud of our very own hillbilly. Actually, she's from Virginia, but she goes to WVU. First medal in the games. First gold in the games.
Well, you know, you and I disagree about the Olympics, but I think they're a good thing, and I think it's a good thing to. And I'll say this. To summon not only the youth of the world, but also in their spirit and competition, to summon hope.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the problem with all the corruptions, that all the corruption that tends to attend the game. It defeats that hope. But this young woman is special. I mean, she really is. Brought in the first U.S. gold in the 10-meter air rifle event. And, yeah, she's a sophomore at West Virginia University.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
It stands to reason that a mountaineer would be a, you know, dead-eye with an air rifle.
Well, she did, and she won it, and I'm glad she did. And like I say, the Olympics to me are very special. I mean, to you, you've got your football and your other sports that you enjoy. And I don't care too much for them.
Dear God, but I saw that footage of that poor men's gymnast. Oh my God, that was worse. That was worse than Joe Theismann.
Well, I didn't see that, but I mean, you know, I think the Olympics are trying to clean themselves up. I mean, we certainly cleaned that part of the Russian team. That's for damn sure, for doping.
Yeah, but, you know, the Russian team was so corrupt that their Paralympics team just got disqualified.
I heard that too. I mean,
what's next? They're doping the Special Olympics?
God damn, I know. I mean, it seems like they would have learned their first lessons about doping when they went back when East Germany was a part of the competition before the dissolution of the Soviet Union and the division of Germany. But
I mean much more of this, Jim, and I expect that they'll have some 10-year-old in the Special Olympics with a beard longer than Ivan the Terrible's.
Could be, you never can tell, but like I say, I saw a very interesting documentary about the 1936 Olympics, okay? I'm not trying to prolong the conversation here, but I'll just share it with you. And it was very good. And it was how Hitler and Goebbels really started the whole thing of making the opening of the games a big political thing. I mean, it was very small before 1936, okay? And then it was used as a political tool and well used. And if I had been in power then, I'd have used it too. I mean, they built a stadium and an Olympic Village complex, everything that the world had never seen before.
And was it not also the first television broadcast?
Exactly, the first TV broadcast. As a matter of fact, it cost you more to buy a ticket to the TV rooms than it did to go to the Olympic Stadium itself. But here you have corruption. Avery Brundage, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he praised the Nazi Olympics, and this is after everybody had left Berlin, and of course Berlin had been renormalized to what it was prior to the 36th Olympics. Brundage, for somehow, got, by some means, a kickback to build the German embassy in Washington. A little hush money can always do a lot of talking.
It speaks very loud, Jim, very loud indeed.
And I'll tell you one thing, but Rob, you know, that stadium that Hitler built has been glassed in and you know, redone, but it's still there with the Führer Tower and everything. And it was truly a magnificent piece of architecture.
How did we manage not to bomb that?
I don't know, but the Olympic bell that was brought in for the Games has a big Russian hole in it by a shell.
Does it really?
Mm-hmm, it does indeed. And And the way they did that setting was because it would require so much brick and, or no, Hitler didn't deal with brick. He dealt with stones and stuff like that. I mean, it had to be permanent. What they did was to lower the floor of the stadium, taken after, I guess, the Roman architects who built their Colosseum. But it is a magnificent piece of architecture. Could seat 100,000 people, and it was well done. I mean, I've got to give the Nazis credit for one thing, and that is the way they made a spectacle of the games, and people just loved it.
And they then Jesse up. Owens went in and shit all over him. God, that was
beautiful. Yeah, I could still see the look on Uncle Adolf's face when he had to see that black man surpass everybody else. And boy, did he twist his lips. I don't think he would even congratulate any of the athletes after that.
No, and as I've mentioned in the past, the irony is that the Jesse Owens monument is just tucked away. It's out of the way. Maybe they've moved it since then. A little place in Alabama.
No, that's not right.
And it's, well, no, it's worse because you go there and, you know, it was no sooner up than somebody went and spray painted that disgusting word on it.
Bob, I just hate to think of stuff like that.
Well, I mean, but they did the same thing with the Booker T. Washington monument down at Malden. They had to move it to the cultural center because the hillbillies wouldn't quit painting spray painting racial epithets on that. They've done the same thing with the John Henry monument down at the Big Bend Tunnel in what, Monroe County?
What did they say about him?
Same word.
You know, I don't understand the type of mentality that would cause a person to do that. But yes, I do. I do. I told you a long time ago, it's a hell of a thing to look out on your garage door and somebody sprayed the word faggot and they can't even spell it right.
Right. And Carol Baker out in Hooterville has had lover sprayed on hers.
No. Tell Carol congratulations. I understand because we had that sprayed on us in the 50s when my dad was in the 60s. My dad was mayor of Camden. Take a look out your bedroom window about 1 o'clock in the morning and see a cross out there on the front piece of the front yard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Been there, done that, Carol. All right, sir. I'm through.
All right. You have a good evening, Jim. You take care.
I'll be done now.
All right. Later.
Later.
Bye. Jim and Rufus, not too all fired far from here. 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I'm sorry, Marty, but there are rules. This is not Vietnam. There are rules, and all times for the Hitler pool must be expressed in Eastern Daylight Time. It's just like Jeopardy. You have to give your answer in the form of a question. And tonight's Hitler pool winner. Out in the far flat reaches of Iowa Stan is Barbie. Barbie is Barbie takes the Hitler pool tonight. Mm-hmm. A contrary opinion coming from Ray in Florida. Subject line: agony of defeat. Hundreds, thousands displaced, hundreds of millions of dollars wasted, abandoned Olympic villages that sit abandoned after the games. The Olympics are an obscene spectacle. Well, and the whole reason for the bidding on the games was to enable the corruptions. The corruption, you know, if we really wanted to recreate the Olympics, they ought to be held where the Olympics were held. Now, there were different games in other places. The city-state of Corinth had the Isthmian Games. But the Olympics are the Olympics because of Olympus, right? Right. Jenny Thrasher, 19 years old, took home the very first gold medal from the games, and she will be a proud alumna of my alma mater, Harvard on the Mon, West Virginia University. It's West Virginia, A joy. It's West Virginia. Now we cheer. Yeah. See, Gerald confirms it. Talcott had to move John Henry's statue to a fenced-in park because the hillbillies kept dragging him down the road with pickup trucks. They also painted him white. And that's why I got a little frustrated in that meeting on Saturday. They were saying, I said, well, you know, how do you deal with the fact that, you know, this is a deeply bigoted state? And they said, well, you know, they didn't even use any of the words in the focus groups. And I said, they don't have to, damn it! They speak in code. They speak in dog whistle. Everybody knows what everybody means. By at least one metric, this is the most racist state in the Union. And that's saying something when you got Georgia and South Carolina and Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana out there. Really saying something. And by the way, note from Scott in San Diego on the question of the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini's mental state. According to the obituary, Scott writes, according to the obituary for Fred Trump, you know, Donald's father, Fred Trump was treated for Alzheimer's disease for 6 years prior to his death. Oh, and by the way, we are down to $65 to go for fundraising for the evening, with 16 minutes to go in the program. $65 to go. That's impressive. Thank you all very much. And thank you for the new subscription to A Nani Muslim, which met Gerald's challenge. That's how we got there. Along with Leo and Jeremy in Vermont. And Glenn, thank you very kindly, Glenn. So, $65 to go. Let me see here. That's true, Gerald pointing out. You know, the sad thing is John Henry is supposedly a fictional or legendary character, so that's a hell of a lot of hate to have for a fake person. Well, in a racist state, you hate real black people, and you hate fake black people too. We're nowhere near that being out of morons. Nowhere near. But this one's kind of hard. This one would actually say this would keep for Wednesday, but it's so goddamn stupid that doing it out of Moran Monday would be, to say the very least, an injustice. It comes out of Idaho Stan. They've got a problem in Idaho Stan, and their problem is with Christians there. They got a Christianity problem in Idaho Stan. The particular Christianity problem they have in Idaho Stan is with a sect called the Followers of Christ. This is the sect that is notorious for letting children die from treatable illness. Now, the legislature, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and in many instances, Kolob-centered Republican legislature of Idaho, is trying to rein in these people who are perfectly happy to let children die. So a character by the name of Dan Sevy, S-E-V-Y, who is a member of the Followers of Christ cult, addressed the legislature today . Well, let's go to the audio, shall we? It's so much more real that way. Working.
These laws confuse teachers. This is my family. I care deeply about my family. But I care more about the children and how they're suffering. The way these kids die is inhumane. A child should not have to drown in their own fluids while people are praying over them. You know, a child is vulnerable. They have no choice. They depend on their parents to protect them. When two people create a life, they have an obligation to that life to protect it and to do the best of their ability to bring that child up to be an adult.
Our parents' choice to use natural medicine was not dictated by their religious beliefs, nor from the knowledge of a serious illness some say news articles may suggest. They were unaware of Mariah's congenital heart defect until the middle of August of 2013, 3 months after Mariah turned 18.
This is a way of life. We live it day to day, every day. If we are injured, sometimes we just pick up and go on. Sometimes we feel it's more serious and we refer to the Lord to take care of us. In that instance, we also, in recognizing His supreme judgment, recognize that sometimes it isn't the result that we would really care for. Again, I have to say, life extends beyond this earth. When it's all over, we believe that all of this will have been a blink of an eye, and we'll promise all that for us. As far as adherence to any law, who do you better obey, God or man? I claim to be a citizen of the state of Idaho, which is a member state of the United States of America. I'm not subject to any king except my Lord and Savior. And in that, I claim dual citizenship. I'm a member of the kingdom of God.
You got that? He's a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now, this guy went on to say, we believe that pharmaceuticals and medicine is a product from Satan. Proof can be found in one of the lost books of Enoch. Well, aren't we going to be a little hard pressed to find that proof, seeing how the book of Enoch is lost? Oh, wait, it was found. And it's a fraud, of course. It's not real. Everybody knows the textual origins of the lost book of Enoch. You know, given down by the Lord God unto the sleestacks. Those who imbibe in those things will not attain a home in heaven. That is our belief. We use it to condemn no one but ourselves. Like I said, we respect your choice and respect your belief and hope the very best for you, because you're going to hell. But if we take medicine, it puts our very souls in jeopardy. At least two children have died recently, have been killed by their parents and their church, who withheld not extraordinary measures, just simple things. Simple, treatable, easy things. Nope, time to go to Jesus. And these fools are exempt. As a matter of Idaho state law, these fools are exempt
from the criminal code of child neglect, child endangerment, child murder, negligent homicide, voluntary manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter. They can't be touched. And at least a couple of good God-fearing, upstanding Bible-believing Republicans, State Senator Lee Hyder and State Representative Christy Perry, have said that they don't think that exemption should be lifted. Oh, that was vicious, Thomas. Thomas with a quick comment. Quick, somebody call Dr. Stein. She'll be on their side. Well, she's aware of no evidence that, you know, vaccines cause autism. Sure. And by the way, he says, if you pass a law telling us that we have to treat our children, we're not going to do anything different. We're going to keep letting our children die. Talk about suffer the little children. Medicine, according to this Sevi creep, constitutes, and these are his words, not mine, witchcraft and sorcery. Mm-hmm. Not science. But then again, science is witchcraft and sorcery. And you've got to remember, if these people had dominion, if these people had control... Yet, what would happen to us? They would kill us dead in the name of their zombie god. What does that tell you? Ooh-wee, that's some amendment, that First Amendment. Interpreted by the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christians in the Idaho legislature is giving license to adults to kill helpless children by denial of basic medical treatment. Somehow, I don't think that's what Mr. Madison had in mind. Do you? And finally, on the way out the door, a note from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve. Subject line of Cabbages and Kings. Interesting point, the mental stability or fitness of a candidate or applicant for what amounts to the top civil service position in the world, election notwithstanding. Must we accede to the election of someone to the presidency irrespective of their presumed or apparent psychological unfitness for the job? Symbolism and immunity goes out the window here, as far as I'm concerned. After all, we presume to have more than an inkling of medical and psychiatric evidence before us in the modern era, especially when it comes to assigning specific agents or causes to the socially unacceptable or bizarre behaviors of those around us. Or do we continue with the medieval pageantry and pomp of the whole charade and crown the idiot king in all his regal gibbery? I fear the answer is the latter. Regards. That was my editorial comment. Regards, Steve, in China. By the way, has anybody asked Trump about vaccines? What do you want to bet? He'd be as anti-vaxxer as he can be. Somebody needs to ask. He doesn't hold with the solid science of climate change. Why would he hold with the solid science of vaccinations? Right. So there we have it. The end of Moran Monday. More Morans, more stuff. I still got two. It seems like they're kind of in gathering now. I've got to find time for these. No giving away. But Titanic Tuesday promises to be
shall we say, right interesting. Thanks to everybody who helped out with fundraising this evening. We came very, very close reaching the full goal. We've got $65 to go. Thank you. Maybe we'll get some subscriber help overnight. I don't know. Thank you very kindly, though. So, barring that, it'll just be $265 tomorrow evening. Hopefully we can do that. Bills to pay, bills to pay, bills to pay. Thank you. And thanks to everybody who makes this whole program go, our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, everybody.